Welcome to my podcast, Secret Series, Learning Life Together. Today's title is The Best Botanical Gardens to Visit. I'm Larry Rogers. You can learn more about me at secretbookseries.com. One of my favorite ventures is visiting the great botanical gardens of the world. I love garden plants and flowers, and I also enjoy visiting the work of others. It's a way to broaden my horticultural awareness, to boost my enthusiasm for gardening. According to TripAdvisor, the top 10 most visited botanical gardens in America are Bellagio Gardens in Las Vegas, Parrot Mountain, Pigeon Forge, Balboa Park, San Diego, Desert Botanical, Phoenix, Boston Public Garden, Denver Botanical Garden, Monticello in Charlottesville, Virginia, Dallas Botanical, Atlanta Botanical, and Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis. But my favorite is not on that list. Gibbs Garden in Bald Ground, Georgia, located about an hour northeast of Atlanta. They have an amazing 20 million daffodil bulbs. If seeing is believing, I'm a believer. Janet and I walked through them for over an hour and saw about half of them. They have the largest Japanese garden in America. It's a massive 40-acre jewel. They call it Tsukiyama. It includes 7 spring-fed ponds, observation islands, bridges, lanterns. Most impressive feature is the 3,000 Japanese maples. No way to describe them. I'm a fairly seasoned garden tourist, but this one got my attention, and I came home with a coffee cup and a ball cap from Ball Ground. We also enjoyed a few years ago visiting P. Allen Smith's Moss Mountain Farm in Roland, Arkansas. It's about 30 minutes northeast of Little Rock. On a sunny razorback hillside, there are 200 varieties of daffodils, nearly a million bulbs. I've watched his gardening show on PBS for 25 years, but I learned on the garden home tour that he grew up in McMinnville, Tennessee. That makes sense because Warren County is the nursery capital of the world. P. Allen and I share a love of daffodils, and we also share the same first initial P for the same Paul. If you enjoy beautiful gardens and the lovely Arkansas countryside, this would be a good one to visit. Closer to home is Cheekwood Botanical Garden, 55 acres and an art museum. Their online bio describes the house, built by Leslie and Mabel Cheek, 1829. 400,000 people a year visit Cheekwood. The property has 13 gardens, a 1.5 mile woodland trail, 2,000 trees, including a 200-year-old cheeky pin oak that graces Swan Lawn, 1,800 boxwoods on the property. It was one of their favorite plants. Schumard oak, southern magnolia, winterberry, cheekwood is a must-see, especially if you live in the area. Also in Middle Tennessee is the Arboretum Garden at Opryland. It's the granddaddy of man-made fountains. There are 50,000 tropical plants in that glass-top greenhouse. 20 full-time horticulturalists. It includes a palm tree that's 40 feet tall. And that Delta River, it has water samples from 1,700 rivers around the world and a sample from every single registered river in the United States. Truly remarkable. 400,000 gallons of water in that thing. The oldest botanical garden in America is Bartram in Philadelphia. According to their webpage, it was founded in 1728 by John Bartram, an American botanist, explorer, and plant connector. Family sold the garden in 1850. It was taken over by the city of Philadelphia. Today, it's a 45-acre National Historic Landmark. And I'll never forget my visit to Monticello, even though it was some 30 years ago. Of course, that's the home of Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, our nation's third president. He had a passion for gardening. He designed the gardens for the White House and for this famous home. In addition to the amazing landscape, there's a vegetable garden with 1,000 square feet where he grew eggplant, sesame, hot pepper, okra, tomato, rutabagas, and other novelties. He grew 300 different varieties of vegetables, and brown Dutch lettuce was his favorite one. Even today, Monticello is a seed bank preserving heirloom varieties. On my bucket list is the home of Emily Dickinson, the renowned poet. She was also known for her excellent gardening skills, and her home is still viewable today. You know, she only had a few poems published before her death in 1886, but when she died, her poems were discovered by her sister and determined that there were 1,800 unpublished poems, and nearly a third of them contain images from her garden and from the surrounding meadows where she played with her dog Carlo. She lived in Amherst, Massachusetts. As it turns out, that state is one of the richest landscape garden states. In nearby Brookline, the National Park Service maintains the home of Frederick Law Olmsted. He's considered the father of American landscape architecture. In 1850, he took a six-month walking tour of parks around the world. And when he got back, he was employed to design the Central Park Gardens in New York City. It took about 15 years, 3,000 workers. They planted 500,000 trees. Olmsted also designed the landscaping for the U.S. Capitol grounds. And I will always cherish the memory of walking the grounds of Middleton Place in Charleston, South Carolina. Henry Middleton was one of the wealthiest landowners, and he was the governor of the state. He owned 50,000 acres. He had the grounds in 1741 to be named Middleton Place. And today, that garden has 100,000 azaleas, terraced butterfly lakes. In 1940, the Garden Club of America described it as the most important and interesting garden in America, and it might still hold that title today. It's interesting that Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge, is thought to maybe be related to Henry Middleton of South Carolina because of their common ancestry in Great Britain. The gardens of Great Britain, with their cooler climate, are on a whole different level. Walking the grounds of Buckingham Palace and seeing the Queen's thousands of scarlet geraniums is something I will always treasure. If you like gardens with native plants, you'd enjoy visiting the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center. It's in Austin, Texas. It's the Texas State Botanical Garden. Lady Bird was a former First Lady, wife of President Lyndon Johnson. I visited her garden one hot June morning. She's famous for the saying, "Native plants give us a sense of where we are in this great land of ours." When I'm in Texas, I want it to look like Texas. When I'm in Vermont, I want it to look like Vermont. Others I've enjoyed include the U.S. Botanical Gardens in Washington, D.C. It's 200 years old. San Francisco Gardens at Golden Gate Park, 9,000 plants there. Desert Botanical Garden in Phoenix. And the Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis is incredible. It was founded in 1859. 79 acres right there in downtown St. Louis, just a short walk from the Arch. Their plant study is second only to the New York Botanical Garden. And although it's not a botanical garden, the cherry blossoms along the Potomac Waterway in our nation's capital are something to behold. When I was a little boy, our family visited Washington the last week of March. The trees were blooming. They're a gift from Japan. A lady named Eliza Skidmore visited Japan in 1885. And she came home with a burning desire to plant Yoshino cherry trees. And it took 24 years of persistence, but President Taft finally approved it. And they were donated to America by the Yokohama Nursery Company in 1912. There's 2,000 of them. And even Alaska has a botanical garden. 1,100 perennials, an herb garden, a rock garden, 350 alpine species. And finally, the largest flower garden in the world is the Kukenhof Gardens in the Netherlands. 80 acres, 7 million tulip bulbs that are dug up and replanted every single year. Just incredible. 30 full-time horticulturalists work year-round to maintain that garden. It's only open 8 weeks a year, but 800,000 people visit it. So if you're a garden lover, like me, visiting the great botanical gardens of the world will pollinate your anther and make your green thumb blossom. You can learn more about these gardens and their plants in my upcoming book, The Secret of Gardening, a month-to-month guide to landscape gardening. It's set to be released in early May. And you can learn more about me at secretbookseries.com. Hope you have a great day.